This is the Ultimate Advisor Podcast, the podcast for financial advisors who want to create a thriving, successful, and scalable practice. Each week, we'll uncover the ways that you can improve your referrals, your team, your marketing, and your business operations, helping you to level up your advising practice, bring in more assets, and create the advising practice that you've dreamed of. You'll be joined by our hosts, Brian Sweet, who is moving fast towards $1 billion in assets under management. Brittany Anderson, the driving force for advisors looking to improve their operations and company culture. And Dre Redfern, who can help you systematize and automate your practice's marketing to effortlessly attract new clients. So, what do you say? Let's jump into another amazing episode of the Ultimate Advisor Podcast.
Welcome back to the Ultimate Advisor Podcast. Brittany Anderson here with you today. And today we've got some brilliance on the show. So without further ado, I am going to introduce you to our guest, Paul G. McManus. Paul is the founder of More Clients, More Fun LLC, MCMF Publishing, creator of the Million Dollar Producer LinkedIn program, and host of the Million Dollar Producer Show podcast. He has worked closely with over 500 financial advisors, CPAs, life insurance producers, and business advisors since 2015. He's also the author of Million Dollar Producer, the secret playbook for financial professionals to land high-value clients using LinkedIn. Not a bad thing to have. He lives in San Diego, California with his wife, Atsuko, and his two Boston Terriers, Moo and Potato Chip. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today.
You know what? I am excited to have you here. And when we start off on the note of Moo and Potato Chips, this is going to be fun.
it should automatically bring a smile to your face, right?
Oh my gosh, it so does. So Paul, without further ado, I know that you've had a lot of impact in our industry as a whole. So tell me a little bit more about your background in helping financial professionals.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. I had my first experience working with a financial advisor back in 2016. And quite frankly, before 2016, I probably couldn't spell financial advisor. But in 2016, I just started my marketing agency called More Clients, More Fun. And we specialized in helping, at that time, more coaches and consultants use LinkedIn to market themselves and to essentially do business development activities. And we carved that out as our expertise. And during that process, I had a gentleman, his name was Shane Walls, reached out to me. He was part of a coaching program I was doing. And he introduced himself and said, "Hey, I think you could really help me if we worked a little bit more closely together." And initially, you know, I'm like, that's not really my thing. But long story short, I heard him out. We started working together. And over the course of, 2 years, he credits me with helping him go from roughly $200,000 of commission per year to $2.5 million of commission during that time. And so that was my first, eye-opening experience working specifically with financial advisors. And at that time, people that do high-end life insurance business. And I, you know, there's always this thing in marketing. It's like, you know, who's your perfect, your target audience? Who should you be working with? And I know a lot of people oftentimes struggle with that. I would say in this case, my ideal target audience found me, because up until that point, again, I was thinking about a different audience and I just saw the potential there. And the really cool thing about that experience is that he was such a cool guy. I mean, it was just, you know, fun guy. Living the life. We met remotely on Zoom all the time, and it just really opened my eyes to what to this industry, and it got me excited about taking my skill set and really applying it to help other financial advisors accomplish similar results. And so since then, I've worked, as you introduced me, you know, close to 500 financial advisors, and that's largely, you know, it's an array of financial advisors, life insurance producers. I worked with a lot of CPAs, some tax attorneys, others that do business advisory services. But I love what I do. I love helping them, and it's been a joy. So I'm really looking forward to getting into this conversation.
You know, Paul, I love it how you can kind of pinpoint that one change in time, right? Like that one relationship that really pivoted things for you and for them too, obviously. So I think so often we can focus on the next paycheck versus the impact. And it's clear that you focused on the impact there.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, I built my business since then, but I can really, if I go back through my own journey, I can really now, starting with Shane, there's about three other people who've really had a huge impact on me. And conversely, I've helped create a huge impact for them as well. And I'm looking forward to maybe getting into some of those stories as we go forward.
Awesome. Well, Paul, I have this trusty little book that came in the mail for me. And it's got your name on it.
Hey,
the Short Book Formula, A Financial Professional's Guide to Writing a Book in 6 Weeks to Attract Ideal Clients. So I'm curious, thinking about impact, what made you decide to write this?
Yeah, I wrote my, I've been working with financial advisors since 2016. And most of that time I was helping them on the marketing side through our marketing agency. And in 2019, I got the idea to write my own book. And at that time it was Million Dollar Producer. The funny thing is that I initially got the book cover created and I put it out on social media and I started getting a bunch of congratulations. They're like, congratulations, Paul. That's so cool. You're an author. And I'm like, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. Right. And so unfortunately, that satiated my motivation to actually write the book for another 6 months. And so it took me a little bit, but once I did write the book, it was a complete game changer in terms of everything. I mean, you know, from how I positioned myself to how I marketed myself to the sales conversations that I was having. And I could see firsthand, because I've spent a lot of money over the years. I consider myself a marketing expert. I've invested in a lot of different strategies, from webinars to, you know, email marketing to LinkedIn to this, that, and the other podcasts. And to me, the act of writing, publishing, and then marketing a book was the most significant game changer that I saw. And so that really motivated and inspired me to launch my own boutique publishing company. And so I want to say roughly 2021, I decided to start making that as a service. And over the course of the end of 2021, 2022, I started working with more and more clients, mostly people at that time who were already working with me on LinkedIn. And I saw that, okay, this is like, you know, as much as I love LinkedIn, this is like my passion, you know, helping people really capture their story effectively, to take a lot of this financial jargon that is impactful, but if you just talk numbers all the time, people are going to gloss over and you're not going to be able to attract the right clients as well. And you're not going to be able to make the type of impact that you could otherwise do. So I got really excited about really focusing in on making this like my core service. And so, you know, of course, following my own example, best way to really go big in marketing is to start by writing a book. And so it was the beginning of 2023. I wrote this book. This is my third book at the time. And really just over the past year, I've just been really on a podcast tour, just talking about the book and getting the message out there to financial advisors about the power of a book, and specifically a short book. And I'm happy to get into, you know, why a short book is better than a long book from my perspective and all those good things.
Yeah. You know, Paul, I'll share with you, we've had for our long-term listeners here, we have had a few different people on that are talking about books and the power of books and why it's so important and how you've got this variation. And I think there's, let's just call it different ends of the spectrum where there's some that believe a book is a business card. And then there's others that are like, a book is absolutely not your business card. It is your biggest opportunity for impact. And you can't look at it like a business card because it can't just be tossed out to everybody. So there's so many different viewpoints. And our belief is, regardless of which way you go, write a darn book. There's so many advantages. And to your point, there are great marketing opportunities. So you kind of led me into this one, actually. Mm-hmm. I would love to know, first of all, what should people know, our advisor audience specifically, mm-hmm. what should they know when it comes to writing a book? And then part two of that question is, why a short book?
No. So I might take those questions in the reverse order. So yeah. I think writing a book is on many people's bucket list. And it's called a bucket list for a reason. Oftentimes it's things that you want to do, but you don't quite get to, at least not till later in life. I think there's this huge, you know, so people conceive of writing a book as this monumental Herculean task that requires a year-long sabbatical in order to get done. Well, guess what? they're not going to do it, or they're not going to do it until the point where it's probably going to have less of an impact on their business. And so my process and my belief and my approach is that I care about the book for the reason of helping you build your business, build your brand, but build your business, create more clients, create more revenue. My process is not geared for the person who simply wants to tell their story and have a legacy. Now, there's a place for that, but that's not where I meet financial advisors. I meet them with the book is your passport to 10x growth. You know, there's a great book out now by Dan Sullivan, who a lot of people are familiar with, and he's talked about this concept for a long time. 10x is easier than 2x. And I think he just recently put out a book with Dr. Benjamin Hardy, which is essentially by that title. A book is your passport to 10x growth. And part of it is, one, you have to get it done. And so our process and the short book formula, which is out there, shows people how they can do it in as little as 6 weeks. So it makes it manageable. And then conversely, once you have the book published, if you really want to make it an optimized marketing tool and a sales conversion tool, you need to get people not just to say, hey, great, congratulations, you have a book, or even, hey, I bought your book and it's sitting there, you know, prettily on my bookshelf and one day I plan to read it. You actually need to get people to want your book because they see it to help them solve a problem that they have and to get them to consume the book. When you do those things, when you get it out in front of the right people to have the you know, who it's geared towards, you get them to actually read or listen to it if it's an audiobook. Now you're in this magical place where, done well, I like to think of a book as one of two things in marketing language. It's either your salesperson in print. Well, actually, I'll go with that. So it's your salesperson in print. And so, done well, before I ever speak to someone, my book's doing the work for me. And by the time someone schedules on my calendar, they've already met my book, which is my salesperson in print. And now we can get beyond the whole, who are you and what are you trying to sell me? And really, it's, I'm now positioned as the author, the expert, the teacher. And now it's a matter of, how can I help? And we can get down to the brass tacks of what the problem is, what the desire is, are we a good fit, and things of that nature. So I'll share a story with you. One of my clients, his name is Mark Miller, and we started working together, I want to say about 3 years ago, and I helped him write and publish a book called The Tax-Free Business Owner. And it holds out the promise of how business owners can legally pay zero taxes. And since then, we've been helping him market that on LinkedIn. And when he markets on LinkedIn, he's marketing it to really a bunch of strangers, right? So we're connecting with people who he's not connected with. And we're using it as the marketing bait to get them to say, hey, I want a copy of the book. But I just recently did an interview with him where he was talking about essentially a testimonial. And what he said is that when, you know, the calls that we schedule for him, the process wise is typically a 20-minute call. And assuming that they're qualified, he moves them to an hour call, and 80% of the people that make it to that second call become clients. And that's transformative, because we're talking about people that 2 weeks ago were complete strangers, right? No one likes to get sold to. We live in a society where the biggest obstacle we have is trust. You know, who are you? I don't know you. I've never heard of you. You know, and especially when it comes to our financial, our money, right? It's like, it sounds too good to be true. It probably is. But he just reiterated not only that success rate, but the reason he was able to accomplish that was because they read the book. And so in that process, if they schedule and they schedule the next call and they don't read the book, guess what? It doesn't work out that well. Mm. But if you use the book really as that sales conversion tool, which means that you set the expectation as part of this process, you're going to read the book, it works magic. And so that leads itself into why a short book. And so I think I may have mentioned this briefly before, but at the end of the day, you need to give a reasonable expectation to someone that as part of our process, you need to read or listen to the book. And if I wrote a 5-hour book, that's going to be counterproductive, right? I'm going to get people to be like, I'm sorry, I don't have that much time. But with a 60 to 90 minute book, you can set the expectation that you need to read or listen to this as part of the process. People go along with it. And the process of getting someone to become a complete stranger to a new client in as little as two calls is phenomenal.
You know, Paul, I think about a couple of things here that, you know, number one, I think about the advisor community as a whole, and there's so many different opportunities for marketing. And I think you just laid out, and I would bet that people's ears are very much perked up right now, because an 80% conversion off of that second call, that's a really big deal.
It is.
So a couple of the struggles that we see, and this is going to help phrase my next question, is that people often don't know which path should they choose. Is it the book? Is it starting a podcast? Is it LinkedIn marketing? Is it, you know, there's so many different opportunities out there that just choosing can be a pain point. So what do you personally see are the biggest challenges that financial professionals face when it really comes to growing and maybe marketing their practice?
Yeah. So in my experience of working with close to 500 financial advisors and professionals, I've seen every single aspect of that. I've worked with plenty of people, especially originally where it was just LinkedIn and there wasn't a book or a podcast. And I've worked with them in different capacities. And the through lines that I've taken from all of that is that there's three fundamental things that do work. And this isn't specific to any technology or era, but the three things that work across the board are, you know, number one, referrals. No surprise there. Problem with referrals is that we don't get enough of them, right? We want more of them. But if we could live in a referral-driven business and we got as many referrals as we wanted, people would be pretty happy. So referrals work and they'll continue to work. The second is authority. And this is the book, which is people need to be positioned correctly. They need to have something that sets them up properly in a positioning standpoint, allows people to engage with their, you know, thought leadership or their mindset or their value proposition, for lack of a better word, before they ever go and talk to the person, right? So, I mean, you know, think about yourself and myself. It's like, you might be interested in something, but in today, 2023, what's the first thing you do? Well, I'm going to Google them. I'm going to check on YouTube. I'm going to see what podcast they've been on. I'm going to see, you know, what other people have to say about them, et cetera, et cetera. And so the third is speaking. Now, speaking is interesting because it can be in person, and in person speaking is magical. It can be webinars. Just this morning, about an hour ago, I did a webinar for a group of people. It was 30 people, and already three people scheduled a call with me. It can be podcasts. And there's, in my mind, two forms of podcasts. There's hosting your own podcast, and there's guest podcasting, such as, you know, in this case, you're the host and I'm the guest. But at the end of the day, what is that? It's speaking. So you got referrals, you got authority, and you got speaking. Now, it's the synergy between those three things where the magic really happens. And so just one in its own silo can give you a certain impact. But if you start mixing and matching, that's where you get the biggest impact. And so I'm going to give you a concrete example of that. So I published, as I said, this latest book of mine at the beginning of this year. My core strategy was to get on as many podcasts that serve financial advisors, which is my audience, as possible. And over the course of the year, the plurality of all my new clients have come in from, guess where? Podcasts, guest podcasting. Mm. And if you break that down, what's actually happening, you have the book authority, you have speaking, which is the guest podcasting, and you also have a form of referral because the podcast host, such as yourself, has typically a great audience. There's trust, there's all these things. And while the host may not be giving you an explicit endorsement and saying, you know, go work with this person, I think at a subconscious level there that exists. And so it's amazing to me to see how potent having a book and going on guest podcasting in 2023 to me is the most effective marketing mix you can have. So to go back to your question, what's the order? I would start with the book because the book can be inserted into everything that you do. If you're doing speaking events, hey, how much better would your speaking event be if you had a book as a giveaway? Because now you have authority. And so, yeah, I would start with the book and then I would broaden that out to how do I really amplify that and get that out into the world?
You know, Paul, there's a couple things that come to mind here. And I think that so often people go on to podcasts. And I think about some of the experiences that we've had with some of our advisor audience too, is people go on to podcasts and they'll have a general idea of a message that they want to articulate, communicate, but there's no solid call to action. Nope. I have made this mistake before. I know many friends and colleagues who have done the same thing. So can you share, like, let's say somebody is, they've written their short book, they're ready to take it to market, they're getting on these podcasts. What do you see as a really solid, effective call to action at the end of those conversations?
Yep. I will do it right now. I will demonstrate this in real time.
I love it.
So if you want more information about me, go to my website, theshortbookformula.com, and you can get a complimentary copy of my book. Boom. That's the call to action.
Easy. I love that. So Paul, obviously you have so much experience and a wealth of knowledge, not only in this whole book writing process, but in marketing and really in our industry as a whole. So I guess my next question for you, because I fully believe in people not reinventing the wheel, is what is one of the most difficult lessons that you've learned in your own journey? And how did you not allow it to stop you from pursuing that next level growth, next level opportunity?
Good question. Yeah. Can remember what you think here. I think, so what comes to mind right now is, and this may be a little bit esoteric, but it's how do you deal with motivation versus complacency? And what I mean by that is that in 2020, when the pandemic hit, I was fortunate where instead of it hurting my business, it helped my business explode in a positive way. And, you know, just partially because I was helping advisors with LinkedIn marketing, and now there was a sudden need for LinkedIn market or online marketing. And so it had a very positive impact on my personal business. And what I found through that was I hit, my income went up, my stress went up, and I got to the, and I got to this point where I was complacent about income because I was no longer driven by I need to earn more because I had more than I needed, right? And then the stress is going up. And so it's kind of like, well, do I really want to push myself that much harder? And that was back in 2020. And now it's 2023. And I now have a new business partner who I wasn't looking for, but approached me. And they are a massive visionary. They do, this person in particular, he does over $8 billion of assets under management. And as I've gotten to know him, I've just been re-inspired about what's possible and how fun it can be. And it's not for the money. It's not be like, hey, I need an extra dollar. I need this or the other. It's like really just having a vision that's transformative, that impacts you, impacts the people around you, and breaking through all of the barriers that stand in between where you are and where you desire to be. And so that, I guess the lesson is, and I've known this over the years, but just it reinforces it, is that you become the five people that you spend the most time with. And so it's super important to surround yourself with people that are ideally more successful than you or more, you know, accomplished than you, because now you have this natural drive to want to do better than you would by yourself.
I love that you took it that direction, Paul. And I love asking that question totally sporadic throughout the conversation, because I think you get such a real raw response. And we talk about that a lot on this podcast, is you are the product of the five people that you put yourself around, and how, like, just how influential that can be, both positively and potentially negatively. So I think that's such a perfect reminder. And, you know, even the most driven of types, the high achievers, the people who are never going to settle for the status quo, we still need those reminders once in a while. So I think that is just a beautiful example. So Paul, a couple additional questions for you here is, let's just say we have an advisor tuning in that's like, you know, they keep talking about books and yeah, that's a good idea, but does it really mean, do I really need to do that? So why do you believe that any advisor out there, every advisor out there, should potentially become an author?
Yeah, it goes back to the Dan Sullivan idea of 10x is counterintuitively easier than 2x. And I believe in my experience that authorship has the potential, not the guarantee, but has the potential to 10x your practice. And so, you know, if you're comfortable with the status quo and doing what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. And, you know, that can be success, right? That can be, hey, I've grown 10% this year, I've grown 20% this year. And those are good things. But if you're one of those people who are thinking, how do I really break through? How do I accomplish potentially 10x growth and much faster than I would otherwise, you need to have something that's new and different. And again, out of all the marketing, and these things don't necessarily live in isolation, but out of all the things that you could be doing, I strongly believe that the book is the linchpin to make everything else you're doing that much more, that much better, that much more effective. One of the things about the idea behind the short book, and I tell this to people in the beginning when I'm working with them, is that for most people, writing the first book is a major accomplishment, and rightly so. And because it's a short book and not a long book, and it's roughly 12,000 to 15,000 words, because of that, in the process is 6 weeks versus, you know, a year or whatever, I plant the seed that you're going to like this so much, not just the process of becoming an author, but you're going to see the results, and that you should think about doing a book once a year, because now you're constantly got a new message or a reinforced message or some angle or some aspect of your business that you want to get out there in a bigger way. And like anything, there's a learning curve, right? And so you find opportunities to promote your first book, you get better and better, you see the value of it. Well, a year later, you get your second book potentially, and now your results are that much more amplified thanks to experience, et cetera. So again, I just say that if you're looking for that key piece of marketing collateral that can benefit all other aspects of your marketing and advertising and sales, a book to me is that linchpin.
Paul, I think that is so true. And now you've got my brain reeling. Of course, I scrolled for a minute here in my train of thought, because I'm like, man, the last time that we dropped our book release, I think it was June of last year. So are we due for the next one? So Paul, before I get into my last question or two, if somebody wants to talk to you further about the book writing process, your support in LinkedIn, how can they do that? How can they engage with you?
Yep. Thank you for the question. I was going to add to what you just said is that I actually got from Brian Tracy, who many of us heard of, and he's obviously a prolific writer. He does this every 6 months, right? So his goal is to write, or has been to write every 6 months, but create a new book, because he just wants to constantly be out there. And it's just that fresh thing that he goes back and markets and promotes, et cetera. So it keeps him top of mind in everything that he does. And so I'm not there yet, a year. So think of a year as conservative at this point as a potential goal. And another question. Yeah. So again, very simple for someone that's listening to this and they want to learn more, best place to go is my website, theshortbookformula.com. From there, you can get a complimentary copy of my book, and I have an audio version there that you can get for free. I also have contact information and everything else. And if it makes sense to talk, from there, you can schedule a 15-minute phone call with me.
Awesome. I highly encourage any of our listeners to do that. Again, you can tell Paul that you have a ton of knowledge and experience in the industry and in what works. I mean, again, it's proof in the pudding, right? So the people that you've served, the examples that you shared, those are exceptional. And it's exciting to think about kind of sparking things up and doing something new, trying something new to really start, I guess, attracting clients to you versus the chase.
It's so much more fun. I just have to add this is that yeah. I'm not a natural salesperson. I'm naturally an introvert, and I would never do what I do if I had to chase. I would rather, do something else. But when you build up a marketing system, let's say, that really attracts the right people. And by the time you talk to them, they're already excited to talk to you because they know enough about you. I mean, it's a complete game changer in terms of just waking up every day and seeing I have 3 or 4 calls on my calendar with people who I know have already, know something about me. It's so much more motivating and inspiring to want to grow your business to that next level. And so it's definitely possible. And if you haven't experienced it yet, I love helping people achieve that.
I love it. So Paul, kind of your look at your own what's next, what's got you really excited about the future?
Yeah. I am excited about the disruption that's going to be that's happening and is going to continue to happen. So, I'm a student of AI, or I say that, I mean, I've since this past year, I've deep dive into AI. And because as you know, it, for marketing companies, I think marketing companies are really being impacted by artificial intelligence, and it's really giving us superpowers. And I mean that legitimately. It's we're able to do, people that are using it are able to do things 10 times better than we could a year ago. So we're able to offer services and improve the quality of our services and offer more services for not necessarily more money, right? For the same amount of money. And, that's just in my own little neck of the woods. But disruption brings opportunity. So I'm really excited about 10Xing my own business over the next couple of years. And I think it's completely possible to do. And then just, as a person, I'm fascinated by how this is going to disrupt society at large. Because, Elon Musk, for example, who warns about, who like both does AI, but also warns about it. I mean, there's a path for a very positive future for all of us. And then there's also the path for destruction, right? So, I'm agnostic in terms of, I don't know what's going to happen. None of us do, but it's going to be a very exciting future that we're going to have because it's going to be very disruptive.
I think about there's the adage out there about how AI will not replace you in your work, but if you don't embrace AI, it absolutely will, right? 100%. So I think that 100%. There's a lot of it there is that there's so many of us and so many dynamics and, you know, whether it's marketing industry, you know, wealth planning industry, any industry you can think about, real estate. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that we can be doing to create efficiencies, add time back, buy time back, be more creative, not have to work and build from the ground up. So I think you're so dead on there that there's really exciting things ahead if used correctly. So,
and that's the disruption, right? Yeah. So, I mean, and to your point, I mean, I completely agree. And if you're like just kind of coasting, you know, it's going to be a difficult future. But if you're entrepreneurial and you're looking for the edge and how to get ahead, I mean, disruption can be your best friend.
Yeah. Amen. So Paul, I like to land on this question. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that I should have?
That's my favorite question, by the way. I love that question. I just want to, I appreciate all the questions and this opportunity to talk with you and your audience. And so I just wanted to share my appreciation with you. And for anyone listening who thinks they're might be interested, again, I recommend checking out my audiobook. And from there, if it makes sense to have a conversation, I welcome it.
Awesome. Well, Paul, we are so grateful that you joined on the show and shared your brilliance, shared your expertise. I know I had some great takeaways and I know that our audience did too. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
That wraps up today's episode of the Ultimate Advisor Podcast. We'll catch you right back here next week. Hey, Brittany here. We hope you got a lot of value out of today's episode. To access the key takeaways, the show notes, and any deliverables, go to ultimateadvisorpodcast.com. And while you're there, check out the Ultimate Advisor Mastermind if you want to learn ways to maximize your income, your impact, and your legacy through an automated practice, a self-managing team, and a killer culture that clients can't stay away from. We look forward to seeing you back here in next week's episode.